going to be talking about a very interesting conversation that I had yesterday with John Ray. He's the attorney representing some of the families of the victims of the infamous Gilgo Beach serial killer. Obviously, the fingers are pointed at that being Rex Heuermann right now. Obviously, innocent until proven guilty. And before we even jump into the conversation and the audio that I'm going to play back here with Stacy of me and John Ray, I do want to say these are John Ray's opinions. They are not those of True Crime Today or the Hidden Killers podcast, because he does make some rather interesting observations, sometimes ones that maybe go against the grain of the way a lot of people are thinking or necessarily maybe want to be thinking in some ways, shapes, and forms. Because when you see a case like this, you identify immediately, you know, the victims. And the victims in this are the people that he murdered. They end up being denigrated more because of what they did as a profession. And then you have a lot of people that say, well, they had that sort of thing coming. It should be noted that no matter what your profession, you never have that coming.
No.
That's never the goal of anything that you're doing. And until you've walked a mile in those people's shoes and understand how they got to the place where they're at, where they were desperate enough to sleep with Rex Heuermann for money, or allegedly do that, it's probably not a very happy story, and it probably doesn't start with them. It probably starts with someone abusing them, and it just kind of goes downhill from there.
And typically, that's exactly what happens. So it's, you know, it's real easy to sit there and say, well, you know, they shouldn't have been doing this. Well, it is the world's oldest profession, too. So it does date back many centuries.
A little history there. It's been going on for
a while. It's something that you could trade. It doesn't make it right. Yeah. And especially in today's world. But sometimes people don't have another option available to them, or they don't think they do.
They don't. And it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it okay. It doesn't do this or that. But you know what? It is reality, and it happens out there. And it still doesn't mean you can go kill somebody because they're doing that. That doesn't seem to be the case, unfortunately, in many of these cases. They're swept under the rug. I really kind of think that's partially why this case has taken so long to be solved, because they were viewed as, you know, society's lesser. And those sort of things get put on the back burner unless it's somebody that has a family or people that care about them that are striving to find answers to their case. And some of these people did have families that have been striving to find answers justice for their loved ones. And that is where John Ray comes into play. He's been the attorney for some of the families for almost a decade, for one of them, and some now for several months. But he's been involved in this case far, far before Rex Heuermann's name was ever added to it. And he's raising some valid points, I would say, quite honestly, about his wife, about the wife of Rex Heuermann, Asa Elrip. And I think they're fair questions to be asked, because there are a lot of times we jump into these and we go, oh my goodness, they're all victims too. And you know what? In a lot of cases where the husband or the wife is a serial killer or something, they are. They are in really shitty positions. Sometimes they had no idea. But because that's the story for example, BTK's family, which I totally believe that is their story. And I have no reason to doubt their story whatsoever, doesn't mean it's the story with every single person whose family was a serial killer. And it doesn't automatically mean that we should all just start funding a GoFundMe because it started in their name and they appear on the surface to be victims. Are they victims? I would say to a certain extent, yes. How far? I don't think any of us know the answer to that question yet. And to assume otherwise is ignorant.
Yeah, and when you were on vacation, Carol and I talked about the GoFundMe account and the basically the destruction of their home. Mm-hmm. And just how bad we felt for that family. And we took the stance that, you know, they didn't ask to be put in this situation.
No.
And their lives have been turned upside down. So from that standpoint, yeah, you know, a lot of people do feel bad for them.
And understandably so. And questions should be asked. And when those things have been cleared, yeah, I mean, these people may be 100% entitled to GoFundMe and charity and things of that nature. But at the same point, I do think it's important to take a close look at this and really examine, who are we talking about? Why do they need funding? Typically, a GoFundMe is for people who are literally broke. They have, you know, there's nothing else left. They need to have this fund to survive. And they're at the mercy of kind-hearted people who are willing to give it. Is a GoFundMe for someone who, and we don't know for sure, but research has shown us a bit in this case that, quite honestly, they are likely millionaires. Now, does she have does she have access to that kind of money? It does. We don't know. We don't know how much that was held away on Rex's side or not. It's estimated that they're worth between $5 to $7 million.
Now that I had no idea.
They have property in multiple states. At least that's on the surface what we know. If that is inaccurate, then I'd love to be shown otherwise. But that's from research that I have read from multiple sources. Points to this, that this is not a family that's necessarily poor. It may look that way by their home.
And it may look, the home is just in shambles.
But quite often hoarders, they hoard money too. Now, if that's the case, I don't know. But it is something to, I think, take note of before you decide to just, you know, put some money somewhere because it makes you feel good. Is it truly going to a place of good, I think would be the big question to ask. And John made some interesting points. Again, these are his opinions. These are his claims. They are not ours, but I think they're worth discussing. Otherwise, I think, you know, we would just be playing into one narrative and here's exactly where we want it to go. So we're going to talk about it that way. I think there may be more to this. This is what John had to say when I had a conversation with him yesterday. Again, this is John Ray, the attorney for some of the victims of the Gilgo Beach murder, when he's talking about the wife of Rex Heuermann.
And that starts with the fact that she seems to be playing a con game in trying to raise money for herself and allegedly for her adult children by retaining lawyers and going on national TV and media to recruit money, or to have them recruit money from the public. And that's their first scam. That scam's ongoing. But if you know, without me having my famous witness in tow here, still anybody with a common sense, a good deal, or maybe even a little experience in life would understand that it makes no sense that he's been with her for 27 years and he has managed to have only three escorts and kills all three of them, and that all happens to be while she's on vacation.
Interesting points to make. I should note that he is not insinuated in any way that that she necessarily was involved in the murders themselves, but may have been more so complicit or at least knowledgeable of Rex having fancy for sex workers in their home.
Is it possible, Tony, that, you know, she was just like a disconnected spouse that, and her husband weren't getting along anymore.
Getting
his needs met somewhere else.
I think anything is possible. People have interesting arrangements for their marriages and such. Not everybody does, but some people do. And sometimes that includes people having sex outside of their marriage or frequenting prostitutes. He claims that he has a witness that can say that they had essentially been in the at the home, had some sort of interaction with his wife, and then went and had relations with Rex in the basement, basically stating that she at the very least knew this is something he was into. Now, does that make her an accomplice or anything like that? If that would be true, not necessarily to murder, but it does end up putting someone into part of a conspiracy. If in fact these charges are true, and if in fact she did have knowledge that he was frequenting prostitutes, because number one, that's illegal. And then to have them in the home that you share, reside in, have some sort of ownership to, that's illegal. So it does put up some interesting legal questions as to accountability for that portion of these crimes. Again, these are his opinions. I have no proof. We have no proof to say either way. Just hearing out the opinions of this attorney. Here's some more commentary that he made. There's been a lot of talk of, and we have talked about this too, and that my initial impression, and it may still be, is that this wife of Rex was a victim of abuse and really, you know, knows no different because she's been beat down for so long by Rex, essentially mentally, that, you know, this is how life went, and maybe she didn't know a whole lot. Here's his argument to
there isn't that. A scintilla of evidence produced by anybody that she's abused. Just the conclusions said by some media people and her lawyers that she lived a wife, you know, a life of terrible oppression and abuse. Where's the evidence of that? And instead, we have the evidence of a real sociopathic family. Sociopathic. Why? Because with all of this going on and their complaints about what's done to them, they've never once complained. They've never once said anything on anywhere that we know of that actually indicates their sorrow for or sympathy with or in any way connection with the true victims and their families as to what happened. They never mention it. Sure. Now, under these circumstances, that's pretty sociopathic. And how does Mrs. Ellerup greet the press when they first show up at her home while she manages to sit on the front porch while they show up, which makes no sense either for somebody that's supposedly oppressed?
I can't disagree or argue with his observations there. Where is the evidence of that? Yeah. And maybe we'll find it out. The fact that she, as of this point, has not been questioned, as far as we know, she's even said, and even their attorney have stated that they're not suspects. They've not even been, I guess, questioned by police, which to me seems utterly insane. If you are completely innocent, if you're guilty, whatever, if you are cohabitating with a person that's been accused of being the fucking Long Island serial killer, I would think you may have gone in for questioning by now, at the very least.
Do we know for sure that they haven't gone in for questioning? Because I think it's really strange that authorities were in their house. They turned everything upside down and then they just forgot or chose not to interview them.
I don't know what it is. And I don't know if it's a strategy either. I think there could go two ways. Either they did enough surveillance before these crimes took place and they've already ruled them out, which is basically what authorities have said. And that still is the official line from authorities, that she really is nothing to do with this. And that is officially where it stands right now. My only other guess could be that if they want to learn more, you know, put the people back into their normal environment and see what happens. And I guess observe and see if there's anything that is questionable that pops up or not. I don't know. I mean, this whole case is one giant gray area about right and wrong and who's telling the truth and this shady character and that shady character. But the point I think that John is trying to make, and I'm not trying to make his point for him, but he's been on a lot of things and he's, with all due respect, very long-winded and kind of jumps around from one point to another, I think is cautionary. It's a cautionary tale about donating to a group that you think may have the best of intentions, but may not at the same point. Here's some more of his observations on the case.
People who are claiming that, you know, they're poverty-stricken and they need money, have a look. They all three had employment, not counting Mr. Huerman, who's making over $400,000 a year from all reports. And they managed to generate a delinquent tax bill where there's a judgment and a lien against them for over $85,000, $80,000-some-odd, that's out there currently. So for every penny the public gets conned into giving them to their legal defense fund, that's going to the tax lien to pay off Mr. Huerman's tax bill. They're paying off Mr. Huerman's tax bill when they contribute money to that fund, because that's the IRS has a tax levy out there for them. So it's ridiculous. people are giving money to give to the alleged murderer by doing it that way. And are they poor? Do you generate a tax delinquent bill like that if you're poor? I doubt it. And she flies to Iceland, ComCon conventions all over the country. She flies to Miami with her husband, to Las Vegas. They own four or five properties throughout four or five states. And, you know, where they travel to, do poverty stricken people do that?
So these are the claims that are being made by John Reagan, an attorney representing some of the families of the victims of the Gilgo Beach murderers. And if these statements and these accusations are true, I can't vouch for any of them, but I can say I have read similar pieces of information when doing my own research. Is this a family that would need a GoFundMe at this moment in time? I do really do question the behavior of making it really all about them publicly when it's your husband that's accused of doing these heinous crimes.
And there's families that don't have their young women as part of their family members anymore.
To have the audacity to be complaining about the shitload of boxes that you already had in your hoarder home.
Yeah.
Which they did, being messed up and that they had to cut into mattresses. I mean, I'm sorry, that sort of shit happens when your home is raided by the FBI and they suspect and they have a lot of evidence showing that your husband is a serial killer. That's going to happen. It sucks. Nobody wants that, but it is going to happen that way if you've been harboring someone like that for that many years, whether you are aware of it or not. I think it is very tone deaf on their part. The way that they sit on their porch and taunt the press and complain about the press, yet they have been using the press to try and get money. When, from all accounts that exist out there, and again, I could be wrong, they already have money for their bills and such. God knows they're going to have a hell of a legal bill with Rex if this goes to trial. But I don't know. I don't know if they're starving for money or if it's just a really easy way right now that, hey, look, tons of people are going to feel really bad for you at this second in time. Let's start a GoFundMe. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I think everybody can make their own judgment their own way if they want to contribute or not. But I do think it's important to ask questions. And that's exactly what we're doing.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.